Would you indulge just a few verses of Scripture this afternoon as we seek to pray? I thank God for the preparation that the men make that come and preach to us on a regular basis, and as always has me in a mind to pray when I hear what is preached. And that's really the response that we need, is that we come to God and we say, okay, here's what you have revealed to us. We're thankful for it. Now, would you not allow us to pray all of this in? What Divine had to say one time about prayer and praying to God for all the things that had been pressed upon his heart. He said, Lord, command what you will, and then give what you command. Because that's got to be the essence of the whole thing. I mean, what can you and I do? We have these treasures in the earthen vessel, that the excellency, the power may be of God, not of us. And why us instead of other folks? Who's made us to differ? You know, why do we accept these things and others don't? And we come now to say, all right, Lord, you've given us more than we deserve, and especially in the matter of truth. And now we ask that we might have these things deposited in our hearts and minds. We wouldn't forget them. And we would obey you and be well pleasing to you. And yesterday, as I was reading in my little devotion, I looked over to a few verses, and First Peter comes up twice in these things. Even today, First Peter comes up a couple of times, and I want you to turn there with me, if you will, First Peter chapter 5, and let us consider just for a moment as we begin to pray about the virtue of humility and how important it is. And here, beginning in verse 5, the apostle says out of 1 Peter 5, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Doesn't stop there, though. He says, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. My Bible tells me that Christ humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death. Humility and meekness are two sides of the same coin. And for God to have anything to do with us because of our fallen state, he must humble himself. I mean, to look upon creation and all of its wonder and glory, God humbles himself. It just serves logic to understand that someone who makes something is greater than what he's made. That's right. And so for God to look at us and have anything other than absolute holy disdain, just consider the divine power in such a humility that allows him to do that. And we're told to be humble, even as Christ humbled himself. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And then in verse 6, here we have the another imperative. Humble yourselves, therefore. In light of the fact of what God does, he gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He's worthy of our submission, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, one of the good things about our salvation is that it makes us able, by that same grace that saves us, to be like the one who saved us when we see him. When we see him, we'll be what? Like him. And what a foretaste of glory divine just to consider that. I mean, it's not always going to be like this. But you may have to be have yourself thrust down upon a mountainside in Puerto Rico before you get there, but it's not always going to be like this. And the things that frustrate us and hurt us and grieve us, mostly about ourselves, but then the world in which we live, these are things are going to be set aside. And between now and then, we can live in the glory of that one who's going to make it all right. But you're not going to live there unless you humble yourself. And God does give us the grace to humble ourselves and to deny ourselves and to die to ourselves and all those things we've heard in the last 6 weeks. Even discerning the times, right? I think that's what you were talking about. Humility. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Now, how do we do that? That's always a great thing, but you need to notice this participial clause here. Now, verse 7 tells us how to do this. You know, a humble person is not a person who just sits over in the corner and nobody ever hears a peep out of him.
Right.
And every time somebody wants him to do something, he just does it. That's not humility. That's not what Peter's talking about in the first four verses of this chapter. He talks about humility from the beginning to the end, really, of this whole chapter. But humility is this: casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, why wouldn't you want to do that? Why wouldn't we want to do that? You like your cares so much, you don't want to give them to somebody else? Not to give them to God is an act of defiance, not humility. If you got cares and you don't take them to God, you are disobeying this apostolic command here to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, looking forward to the time when He will exalt you to His own glory. And how do we do that? By casting all our cares upon Him, for He careth for us. I don't know anything that would be better than that. God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. The proud man doesn't have any grace. And his pride indicates that God's never, ever given him that. And pride is most, how shall I say, hideously made known by the fact that we don't give our cares to God. The most arrogant man in the world is the man that doesn't take his troubles to God. You got a care? Take it to Him. Call to Me in the day of trouble. And I'll hear your cry. I'll hear what you got to say. And I will show you wonderful things. Just a few other verses and let's pray, considering this whole matter of humility. It says in Proverbs 16:15, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Isaiah 64:8-9, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou art the potter. And we all are the work of Thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech Thee, we are all Thy people. And then from Jeremiah 31:18-19, it says, Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastened, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn Thou me, and I shall be turned. For Thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote it upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded. because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Now that's humility speaking right there. And then Lamentation 3:27, it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. And then what did Job have to say? Or what does it say in Job 5, 6, and 7? It says this: affliction cometh not from the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. Yet man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. Now all these things exalt God, but they sure put us in that dust about what we just read. I don't know of anything that's more beautiful than humility. We have an old cat. He is a lynx cat. Found him on the side of the road. Thought he was great while he was a kitten. But he has become an old nagger. I mean, we got him in there and I walk in the kitchen and all of a sudden he starts telling me what he wants. Oh, I didn't know. I wished it was. I'd take that any day. Anyway, he is obnoxious. And I just want to kick him plumb across the kitchen. And then he wants to rub on you while he's being obnoxious. And now, when I was a kid, I loved that. I never understood why my mama didn't like it until I got in my 60s. But one day, I came in the kitchen, and he just looked at me, and just one or two little sounds, and I gave him just what he wanted. I thought, you old rascal. So I gave him what he had been demanding of me at other times. Now, there's times I give him what he wants just to get him shut up, just before I throw him out the door. But that day, there was a different tenor about his voice. And it melted me. Much as I don't like him, I gave him exactly what he wanted. Now, friends, real humility is winsome. And it is beautiful. And it is sweet. That being subject to God and being glad to submit to His will, whatever it is, in light of what we heard this morning, that's be a great thing. We want to pray that God would humble our hearts. Humble our hearts. And may God help us. Our Father, we are grateful to You for looking down upon us and humbling Yourself in every way to tend to the eternal needs that we all have. We ask now, Lord, that we might, in light of Your mercies to us, and especially the grace that saves us, that we would humble ourselves before You. That we would do exactly what Peter says here and what the Old Testament advocates about this whole matter of our submission to You and living our lives not for ourselves but for You. And Lord, we thank You for that. And it's no sacrifice. Some would consider this to be sacrifice, to live for God and not for yourself. Father, help us to understand that unless we are living for Your glory, to the end that You be magnified among men, that we're really not living. At best, we're existing. We pray, God, that our hearts might be set upon You in everything. And Lord, we do thank You for what we've heard today. And the things we hear Lord's Day by Lord's Day. We thank You, God, for the time we spend in private study of Your Word and how You meet with us. And Lord, it seems like that's the only thing that really satisfies us anymore. It's to be where You are, involved in what You're doing and hearing what You are telling us. We plead with You, Father, keep us in that place. Our sins are before us. We are ashamed when we look back upon ourselves and we see what we have been and even what we fall into from time to time. Lord, we grieve over these things and we ask that You would keep us from them. You do keep Your people. You sustain them. You protect them. And Lord, we stand back and wonder of how powerful and mighty You are to take care of all of us, to meet every need, physical, spiritual, temporal, eternal. We beg You, Father, that we might acknowledge You as God. And Father, we ask especially that you look down upon the sufferings of those whom we love and who we have come to love recently. We ask, God, that your hand of power and vigor and strength, and if it be your will, healing would be upon them. We pray, God, that they'd understand that you're supplying all their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And Father, we ask that in the days ahead we might hear good things. That is, things that please you. We pray, God, that we might hear what you're doing. And we might be able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now forgive us of our sins. Take us to our places of abode. Let us work hard this week. And if you see fit to give us another week, return us here that we might continue to honor you together and that we might continue to learn of you as a congregation, twice born, blood bought, spirit filled. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.